Thank you for stopping by Living Waters World Online, a place where the river of God flows. Pastors Lawrence and Kimberly Richardson invite you on a journey to change the church, challenge the colleges, and charge into the community. The following message is from the series, This is Our Time of Deliverance, from the Chronicles of Exodus.
Exodus chapter 7, verse 14 through 22. Give me a few moments, and then I'll get to where I need to be. Exodus chapter 7, verse 14 through 21, Elder Natira. If you don't mind, let's read it. Amen. Let's read it. Amen. For the congregation.
So the Lord said to Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hard. He refuses to let the people go. Go to Pharaoh in the morning when he goes out to the water, and you shall stand by the river's bank to meet him. And the rod which was turned to a serpent you shall take in your hand. And you shall say to him, The Lord God of the Hebrews has sent me to you, saying, Let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness. But indeed, until now, you would not hear. Thus says the Lord, By this you shall know that I am the Lord. Behold, I will strike the waters which are in the river with the rod that is in my hand, and they shall be turned to blood. And the fish that are in the river shall die, the river shall stink, and the Egyptians were loath to drink the water of the river. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying to Aaron, Take your rod and stretch out your hand over the waters of Egypt, over their streams, over their rivers, over their ponds, and over all their pools of water, that they may become blood. And there shall be blood throughout all the land of Egypt, both in buckets of wood and pitchers of stone. And Moses and Aaron did so, just as the Lord commanded. So he lifted up the rod and struck the waters that were in the river in the sight of Pharaoh and in the sight of his servants. And all the waters that were in the river were turned to blood. The fish that were in the river died, the river stank, and the Egyptians could not drink the water of the river. So there was blood throughout all the land of Egypt. Then the magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantments, and Pharaoh's heart grew hard, and he did not heed them. As the Lord had said.
Verse 14 says, And the Lord said to Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hardened. He refuses to let the people go. Get thee unto Pharaoh in the morning. Lo, he goeth into the water. And thou shalt stand on the riverbank against him as he come. And the rod which is turned into a serpent, thou shalt take in thy hand. And thou shalt say unto him, The Lord of the Hebrews have sent me unto thee, saying, Let my people go. Verse number 22, it says, And the magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantments. Now we got to wrestle with the text. And the magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantment. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened. Neither did he hearken unto them as the Lord has said. For a correlating scripture, you can flip over, amen, if you like, to 2 Corinthians chapter number 1 and 20. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1 and 20, it says, For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, until the glory of God by us. Let me read that again. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, until the glory of God by us. Give me a few minutes. I want to talk from a subject already, but not yet. Father, thank you for the word that you sowed in my heart to minister for these next few moments. Give me an articulation of speech. God, let me say what it is that you have said. Probably I've probably preached, God, already one or two sermons, God, whether it was in the announcements or whether it was about the business owners. So now, God, is the main course. God, give me, oh God, preaching power. Let me say what it is that you've said, God. And when you're finished, let me already be sitting down. Speak, God. But more importantly, God, open, unclog the ears of your people that they can hear what the Spirit is saying to the church, God. But more importantly, that we would not only hear, but we would become doers of the word, God. Thank you, Father, that we can hide the word in our heart. And by hiding the word in our heart, we won't sin against thee. Speak, Lord, because you're now saying already, but not yet. Thank you. Declare your truth, and we will glorify your name forever. And all God's people said, Amen and amen. Already, but not yet. When we come to where we are in Exodus and the time of deliverance, we arrive at the point in the Exodus in which the dispute or the dialogue between God and Moses has now ended. It took a few chapters for Moses to finally be convinced that God is who he said he is, and that what it is that God wants to do, he gonna do with or without Moses. And Moses finally gets it in his mind that let me go ahead and be about God's business. Somewhere on this journey, you have to decide, let me go ahead and be about God's business. So in the text where we are now, God is no longer dialoguing about Moses, and now Moses and Aaron and the people of God are about to be delivered to meet God in the wilderness, that they may go from the wilderness into the promised land. All right? So they're on the way, but they're not there yet. The journey of going where it is that God takes us always turns in the right direction when those that are leading apply themselves to executing their commission. And I need to say that again, because oftentimes we don't really comprehend that most everything rises and falls with leadership. And if leadership can ever get to the point that I got to be about God's business, I got to fulfill my commission, and I've got to now be committed to complete obedience regardless to any present resistance, that when leaders finally get there, then the journey starts to go on its course. Could it be that God is not waiting for us, and the people are not waiting on God, but they're waiting on leaders that are now walk out their commission? I don't know if you can hear me or not, but it is now time for us elders. It's now time for us deacons. It's now time for us ministers. It's now time for us that call ourselves Christian to be about our commission. We got to now take it serious, and we got to be about it, because the earth is moaning and groaning, waiting for the manifestation of the children of God. There is somebody waiting for you to bring them out. Say that again. Amen. There is somebody waiting. They might not be in here, and they might be in here, but there is somebody waiting that if you finally understand what is your call and what is your commission and what it is that God has now ordained and anointed you to do, there's somebody waiting that if you would strap up your boots and if you would get your, amen, loins girt about with truth, and you get the breastplate of righteousness, and if you would get to marching, you'd find out they were waiting on you all along. In the text where we are, Moses finally is about his commission. Look at somebody, amen, and determine, amen, and tell them, I'm about my commission now. I'm about my commission. I'm about my commission. I'm about my commission. At this point of the journey, amen, they begin to turn in the right direction because Moses is about execution. Somebody said to me real loud, I have to be about execution now. Good God. I have to be about execution. It ain't about what God told them to do. It's about what he told you to do. And whatever it is he told you to do, y'all got to hear me today, because I don't want to preach that long. You got to get some march in your step now and some determination in your being that this is what God told me to do. And whether I have everybody with me or nobody with me, I got to do what he called me to do. Whenever the leaders or those that have the ability to lead get their, amen, determination to be about their commission, the journey always turns in the right direction. Y'all need to hear what I'm saying. Whenever those, good God Almighty, I feel like preaching holy. Amen. You might have to turn that on B3. Amen. Man, my nephew was here the other week, and he kept telling me, amen, Pastor, you need a B3. And I do need a B3 about right now. Y'all ain't hearing me. Amen. Whenever leaders finally get to understand this is what I've been called to do, and I need to tell somebody today, amen, you can't get away from your calling. God Almighty. I don't care whether you take the wings of the morning and fly to the utmost place. I don't care if you make your bed in the pits of hell. I don't care if you've determined I'm going to sit side the road, ain't going to do nothing. Your calling is going to keep looking for you. And what it is you're here on earth to do, it's going to keep coming full circle until you finally say yes. I don't know about anybody else. I'm now going to say yes to the calling and to the commission. And whatever it is here I'm here to do, I'm ready to do it. Come on, high five, tell somebody, I'm ready to do it. I'm ready to do it. I'm ready to do it. Whenever leaders, amen, finally get about executing their commission and they become committed to complete obedience regardless of any present resistance, the journey always turns in the right direction. I need to let every educator in here know, good God Almighty. Amen, 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 amen. We're not waiting on the president over the education. We're waiting for the Christian educators to finally get about their commission, and we're going to see this whole thing in Baltimore City turn around. Somebody should have said amen right now. I need to let somebody know, amen. I know Catherine Pugh, she just got back in the mayoral race, and she's saying now she's going to get rid of all that. I know all of that, and I know Scott. I know all of them are running, but when the people of God finally make the house of God a house of prayer, we're going to see this whole thing turn around. And we ain't waiting on electing the right person. We just waiting on the right prayer. God. Whenever leaders finally begin to get executing their commission and they become committed to complete obedience, the journey begins to turn in the right direction. Don't want to get ahead of myself. But we're seeing some inkling signs that the journey for Baltimore City is turning. Oh God. Y'all gonna make me preach today, all right? I don't know if y'all pay attention, but I'm hearing some signs and some rumblings, amen, that the journey for Baltimore City, amen, is turning in the right direction. And you can't get this from Fox News. Oh, God. You can't get this from the gossip column. You got to be listening at the right thing at the right time, coming from the right source. Somebody say with me real loud, Baltimore City is turning in the right direction. In Daniel 11 and 32, it says, and such that do wickedly against the covenant shall be corrupt with flatteries. But the people that do know their God, they shall be strong and do exploits. And the people that do know their God, they shall be strong and do exploits. And this is where I want to hang out for you a few moments, because God has said some yes and amen, that the struggle is, it's already, but not yet. If you look at the text real clearly, and I pray that over the Christmas holiday and the time down that you have, that you read the book of Exodus, or even, okay, if you don't really like reading, go put in the Ten Commandments. Go put in the movie. All right, it's sort of kind of right. All right, go put in the movie and watch it. Because at this stage of the journey, we're getting ready to have a contest between God and Pharaoh and his magicians, and we're getting ready to find out, is God who he says he is? We're getting ready to find out, is God who he says he is? There is a stage along the journey that what this really is about, is God's yes really yes? Is God's no really no? I wish I had a little bit of time, because I would take you into the Paulinian theology of, is God righteous enough to do what he said he would do? And that's a cosmic battle. That ain't got to do with Tom. That ain't got nothing to do with Dick and Harry. That ain't got to do with nothing. This got to do with God and Satan. And God said he's going to do a thing, and then Satan begins to resist. I don't want to get ahead of myself. Whenever there is an already but not yet, there is a cosmic battle going on that we don't have eyes on. And if we're not clued in, we'll think we've done something wrong or right that's hindering what God promised. And every now and then, this battle ain't about us. Every now and then, the already but not yet ain't got nothing to do whether or not you gave your tithes or not. Every now and then, this already but not yet has nothing to do whether you prayed this morning, last night, or last week. Every now and then, it has nothing to do with whether or not you've been fasting, but it has everything to do with the cosmic battle that we're in, that we're not aware of, between God and Satan, and God showing Satan one more time that if I said it, I'll bring it to pass. And that's where we're in when we come to Exodus chapter number 7, because God said it, but it ain't coming to pass. Has anybody ever been in a moment that God said it, but it ain't coming to pass? I'm glad the rest of you 85, 90, 100, because I only got three that raised their hand. You three, I want y'all to be encouraged, because the rest of them ain't telling us the truth. Because every now and then God said something, but it ain't came to pass yet. And I done been this journey a little bit long now that I know he ain't a liar. So what's the deal? Give me 3 points and I'll show you in the text what the deal is. Number one, go to the text. Number one, whenever there is an already but not yet, then number one says we must display a resilience and commitment to the promise while evil contestants are producing resistance to forward movement. Every now and then God says, I'm taking you to a land of promise, and here go a Pharaoh says, you ain't going nowhere. We have to display a resilience and a commitment to the promise while evil contestants are producing resistance to forward moving. Because God said in Exodus chapter 3, hey, Moses, go tell Pharaoh to let my people go till they may go to a promised land. And now we're in chapter 7 and they ain't going nowhere. And this is where the rubber meets the road. God said it, but I ain't started to move yet. He said he was going to give me a new job. He said he was going to give me a relationship. He said he was going to get me out of debt. He said my body was going to be healed, but ain't nothing happened yet. And this is where most Christians says, I'm going to try something else. Every now and then, we have to display a resilience and a commitment while evil contestants are hindering forward movement. This is not the part of the Bible that the feel good try to get you to come back and all these other churches ain't gonna tell you about. Every now and then, there is an evil resistance that is hindering forward progress. I knew you wasn't gonna say amen. Every now and then, there is something that is of equal resistance to where we presently are. God have mercy. I'm going to say that again because you didn't catch it. Every now and then, where we've navigated to in life, there is an equal resistance that said, I don't care what God said. I'm going to have your relationship. I'm going to have your children. I'm going to have your promotion. And it ain't nothing you can do about it. And having done all to stand, in that moment, you got to stand anyway. We got to display a resilience. And this is what we ain't been taught about. We got to display a resilience and a commitment to the promise while evil contestants are producing a resistance to forward moving. Look at it, put in your notes because I won't read it. Ephesians chapter number 6, verse 13 through 18, it says, put on the whole armor of God. You know why it says put on the whole armor of God? Because you don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Every now and then, it ain't the white man. Every now and then, it ain't the system. Every now and then, it's spiritual, but we ain't spiritual. I'm going to say that again. Every now and then, forward movement is hindered because we ran into something spiritual, but we ain't spiritual. And y'all need to come on in and listen and lean in now, because when it's spiritual, them spirits ain't moved because you crying. Them spirits ain't moved because you say this ain't fair. Them spirits ain't moved because you throwing another temper tantrum. You know what them spirits, when you start crying and you start throwing temper tantrums and you start saying, why these things can't happen, you know what them spirits start doing? They start laughing at us. And we got to get within us that when we run into that kind of spirit, that I'm going to be standing here when this thing is over. God almighty, oh God. I felt that in my shana. Y'all don't want Willie Moore, so y'all don't have no idea what I'm talking about, do y'all? Every now and then, what we're facing and why we can't move, because we ran into something that has equal strength. And in that moment, you got to do what God told Moses to tell the children of Israel in another part of this text, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Can I bring y'all in a little bit closer to this spiritual battle that we go into sometimes? Sometimes the enemy wants to see, are you going to stand still long enough to see the goodness of the Lord? I'm sorry, y'all. I'm too old to be confessing some new prophetic promise every week. I'm going to say that again because some of y'all didn't hear me. I'm too old, I'm too tired, and I don't feel like every week confessing some new prophetic promise. I got about 16 that I need him to do before I confess any new ones. Well, you ain't saying nothing, but I'm going to preach anyhow. I got 16 that's on the shelf that I need to do before I confess any of them. And I'm going to stand and keep confessing until I see them in the goodness of the Lord. And I don't care what I got to fight, and I don't care what resistance is resisting me. I'm going to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Point number one in the text, there has to be a display of resilience. Because God tells Moses to go tell Pharaoh, and the only thing that Pharaoh does is harden his heart the more. It's like, let me sort of kind of explain it to you. It's like going to your supervisor and saying, hey, it's my time to get a raise. I've been here 15 years, and I ain't got a raise in 5 years, and so give me a raise. And the supervisor says, sure thing. Just get out my office. And a year later, he hasn't given you a raise. And then you go back in the office and say, sure thing. And then 1 year later, he doesn't give you a raise. This is what's going on in the text. God is telling Moses to tell him Pharaoh something. And Pharaoh's saying, sure thing. Okay, whatever. No, okay. And walking out the office. And there's an already, but there's a not yet. And whenever there's an already, not yet, y'all better please hear me. You better get a resilience in your spirit that when Pharaoh's done, I'm going to still be standing here confessing it's my time of deliverance. I don't know if we have enough resilience in us to be standing when this cosmic battle is over. I don't know if we have enough resilience that we can call things as not until they become. I don't know if we have enough resilience that when we run into Ephesians chapter number 6 warfare, that we can keep calling God's promises good, that we can keep saying, this week I've been posting about one thing on social media, God is good. I'm convinced that God is good. I'm convinced God is good because I want everything around me to understand whether I'm abound or whether I'm abased, God is good. Whether I got a whole bunch of money or no money, God is good. Whether I got favor or not, God is good. And we've got to get the resilience to call God good regardless of the circumstances. And I don't know if we got that resilience because we are entitled. Every now and then, God going to show us. Every now and then, you're going to have to wait on something. I'm almost there. Ask your neighbor, say, neighbor, you got some resilience to wait. If the promises are already yes and amen, come on, stay with me, Daniel. If the promises are already yes and amen, then sometime the only issue is I got to wait. God. If he finished the work on Calvary, my blessing, my healing, my protection, everything I have a need of was finished at Calvary. Every now and then, it just might not be my time yet. And I've got to, oh God, I feel this thing in my spirit. Okay, I'm going to call it spirit. I ain't going to call it a shine or not because y'all going to turn me off. I'm going to call it my spirit. Every now and then, I've got to get the resilience in my spirit that I can stand, that I can wait, and ain't nothing move me. Apostle Paul said, don't none of these things move me. Truth of the matter is, come on, y'all, come a little bit closer. Truth of the matter is, too often, too much moves us. And if you're not careful, you'll live moving because you ran into a little resistance. I'm going to be blessed in this relationship. I'm going to be blessed on this job. I'm going to be blessed in this community. I'm going to be blessed over there. And I'm not leaving until my assignment is up. And when I leave, I'm going to leave a blessing. Point number one, and I told y'all I'm not going to do it all day today. Number one, we must, I'm talking about when there is an already but not yet, then number one, we must display a resilience and a commitment to the promise while evil contestants are producing resistance to forward movement. We should often remind ourselves that God's word is good. Once we see greater resistance, okay, I got to get it. Y'all catch this. Come on, tell your neighbor, catch this. We should often remind ourselves that God's word is good. Catch this. When we see greater resistance, we should expect that we are now much closer than we were before. If you studied this text, the resistance became greater the closer they were to what God had promised them. Every now and then, the resistance is only greater because you're almost there. And he wants us to quit right now. He wants us to give up. He wants us to stop right now because we came so far, almost there. And if we quit now, we're going to miss it when we was almost right into the blessing. Do me a favor, tell somebody, don't quit right now. You're too close. Don't quit right now. You're too close. Often the greater resistance is because we're closer than we've ever been. Good God, don't talk to nobody. Talk to your own self. Say, I'm closer than I ever been.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Living Waters World Online. If you were blessed by this message or know someone who will be blessed by this message, please click the link below for more information on how to receive the full-length copy. We hope you are encouraged. And please remember, this is the place where the river of God flows.